Lesson 2. Why teach financial literacy? In 1990, my best friend Mike took over his father's empire and is in fact doing a better job than his dad did. We see each other once or twice a year on the golf course. He and his wife are wealthier than you could imagine. Rich Dad's empire is in great hands, and Mike is now grooming his son to take his place, as his dad groomed us. In 1994, I retired at the age of 47, and my wife Kim was 37. Retirement does not mean not working. To my wife and me, it means that, barring unforeseen cataclysmic changes, we can work or not work, and our wealth grows automatically, staying way ahead of inflation. I guess it means freedom. The assets are large enough to grow by themselves. It's like planting a tree. You water it for years, and then one day it doesn't need you anymore. Its roots have gone down deep enough. Then the tree provides shade for your enjoyment. Mike chose to run the empire, and I chose to retire. Whenever I speak to groups of people, they often ask what I would recommend, or what could they do? How do they get started? Is there a good book I'd recommend? What is the secret to success? I simply say to them what my rich dad said back to me when I was a little kid. If you want to be rich, you need to be financially literate. That idea was drummed into my head every time we were together. As I said, my educated dad stressed the importance of reading books, while my rich dad stressed the need to master financial literacy. If you're going to build the Empire State Building, the first thing you need to do is dig a deep hole and pour a strong foundation. If you're going to build a home in the suburbs, all you need to do is pour a 6-inch slab of concrete. Most people, in their drive to get rich, are trying to build an Empire State Building on a 6-inch slab. Our school system, having been created in the agrarian age, believes in homes with no foundation dirt floors are still the rage. So kids graduate from school with virtually no financial foundation. One day, sleepless and deep in debt in suburbia, living the American dream, they decide that the answer to their financial problems is to find a way to get rich quick. Construction on the skyscraper begins. It goes up quickly, and soon, instead of the Empire State Building, we have the Leaning Tower of suburbia. The sleepless nights return. As for Mike and me in our adult years, both of our choices were possible because we were taught to pour a strong financial foundation when we were just kids. Now, accounting is possibly the most boring subject in the world. It also could be the most confusing. But if you want to be rich, long term, it could be the most important subject. The question is, how do you take a boring and confusing subject and teach it to kids? The answer is, make it simple. My rich dad poured a strong financial foundation for Mike and me. Since we were just kids, he created a simple way to teach us. For years, he only drew pictures and used words. Mike and I understood the simple drawings, the jargon, the movement of money. And then in later years, rich dad began adding numbers. Most importantly, you must know the difference between an asset and a liability, and buy assets. If you want to be rich, this is all you need to know. It is rule number one. It is the only rule. This may sound absurdly simple, but most people have no idea how profound this rule is. Most people struggle financially because they do not know the difference between an asset and a liability. Rich people acquire assets. The poor and middle class acquire liabilities, but they think they are assets. When Rich Dad explained this to Mike and me, we thought he was kidding. Here we were nearly teenagers and waiting for the secret to get rich, and this was his answer. It was so simple that we had to stop for a long time to think about it. If it's that simple, how come everyone's not rich? I asked. Rich Dad smiled. Because people do not know the difference between an asset and a liability. I remember asking, how can adults be so silly? If it's that simple, if it's that important, why would everyone not want to find out? It took our rich dad only a few minutes to explain what assets and liabilities were. To teach preteen boys, rich dad kept everything simple, using as many pictures as possible, as few words as possible, and no numbers for years. My rich dad simply drew a vertical box with a line through the middle. The top half was for income, and the bottom half was for expenses. Then beneath that box, he drew another box horizontally, which he divided into a left half for assets and a right half for liabilities. The income statement, often called a profit and loss statement, measures income and expenses, money in or money out. The second set of boxes is the balance sheet. It's called that because it's supposed to balance assets against liabilities. That relationship is vital to understand. The primary cause of financial struggle is simply not knowing the difference between an asset and a liability. The cause of the confusion is found in the definition of the two words. If you want a lesson in confusion, simply look up the words asset and liability in the dictionary. So my rich dad simply told two young boys the following. An asset is something that puts money in my pocket. A liability is something that takes money out of my pocket. This is really all you need to know. If you want to be rich, simply spend your life buying assets. If you want to be poor or middle class, spend your life buying liabilities. It's not knowing the difference that causes most of the financial struggle in the real world. My rich dad then drew three arrows on his diagram. He explained, the arrow represents the flow of cash, or cash flow. In 80% of most families, the financial story is a story of working hard in an effort to get ahead. It's not because they don't make money, but because they spend their lives buying liabilities instead of assets. The first arrow showed the cash flow pattern of a poor person or a young person still at home. The arrow goes into the income box from a job or salary. It then continues into the expense box. Expenses include taxes, rent, and everyday living expenses. It flows out the expense box and is gone. The second arrow Rich Dad drew represented the cash flow pattern of a middle-class person. The arrow flows from a job into the income box. It then flows into the liabilities box. Most middle-class people acquire many liabilities, such as a mortgage, a car loan, and credit card debt. From the liabilities box, it flows to the expense box, where the monthly payments are made for the liabilities, as well as taxes and living expenses. From there, it flows out the expense box and is gone. The third arrow is the pattern of a wealthy person. This arrow simply flows from the asset box into the income box. The cash flow is not generated by a job or salary, but by assets. Remember, assets are things that put money in your pocket. Additionally, the rich have few expenses and liabilities, or if they do, those liabilities are more than covered by their assets. Examples such as these are oversimplified. Everyone has living expenses, the need for food, shelter, and clothing. The diagrams Rich Dad drew show the flow of cash through a poor, middle-class, or wealthy person's life. It's the cash flow that tells the story. It's the story of how a person handles their money, what they do after they get the money in their hand. I cringe whenever I hear people ask me how to get rich quicker, or how do they start. I often hear, I'm in debt, so I need to make more money. But more money will often not solve the problem. In fact, it may actually accelerate the problem. Money often makes obvious our tragic human flaws. Money often puts a spotlight on what we do not know. That's why, all too often, a person who comes into a sudden windfall of cash, let's say an inheritance, a pay raise, or lottery winnings, soon returns to the same financial mess, if not worse than the mess they were in before they received the money. Money only accentuates the cash flow pattern running in your head. If your pattern is to spend everything you get, most likely an increase in cash will just result in an increase in spending. Thus the saying, a fool and his money is one big party.